Today's daf is daf Yud Gimel. So we got to the last five lines of Yud Beis. I mean, Beis talking about the final last lines of the Perek of the Petach Chamor. So the Gemara quotes a Mishnah. The Mishnah reads as follows. It's a Mishnah that found in Maseches Shavis. It says Tanan Hasam, and learn the Mishnah there. Ha'erichin. Erichin we haven't learned yet, but Erichin is if a person wants to give Erichin of himself, of someone else. There's a whole table of, depending on age and gender, how much she has to give to the Beis HaMikdash. So it comes to Erichin B'Shaitin. What does B'Shaitin mean? So Rashi explained, let's say he said, I want to take Erichin of himself, and he's a certain age. And then he doesn't give the money until he reaches a different category, a different age. The halacha is you pay of the Erichin based on how old you were when you made the Erichin, not how old you are when you are giving it. So that's the din of Erichin B'Shaitin, based on the time you gave the Erichin, or you made the Erichin rather. Upidyon haben achar shloshim yom nechiyah. Pidyon ben, as we know, based on the pasuk, is only after 30 days. And pidyon petach chamor is le'alter, and one pays petach chamor immediately the moment before petach chamor is born. You take a pidyon, you give it to the kohen. So Gemara says, wait a second. This very last halacha here, pidyon petach chamor is le'alter. Is it really true that one has to pay the petach chamor immediately? Doesn't the Braita tell us elsewhere? Urminhi. Ein be'erchin ubepidyon aben ubenezirus ubepetach hamor pachos mishloshim yom. That these halachas are no less than do not exist under 30 days. Erichin, the Torah tells you only mi ben chodesh ulamala is there an erichin. Below that, there's no erichin. Pidyon aben, the pasuk explicitly writes 30 days. Benezirus, we know stam neziros. The Gemara tells us it's 30 days. It's based on the gematria. It says kodesh he has gematria 30. That's 30 days for a stam neziros. You can't have neziros less than 30 days. And here we have also pidyon petach hamor is also 30 days, only after 30 days. So above we said that Pidyon Petach Chamor is Lealter. Now we're saying it's only after 30 days. And the Braisa just concludes, Mosifin Ad Olam, which means, Mosifin sounds like you're adding on. Rashi says that value remains the same, meaning if the person didn't pay after 30 days, he has an outstanding obligation, Leolam, until he actually pays it off. But what comes out from this Braisa clearly is that the mitzvah Pidyon Petach Chamor is only after 30 days, not Lealter. So how do we reconcile this steer between the Mishnah and the Braisa? So Gemara says, last three lines of Amr Beis here, Amr of Nachman Lomar She'im Pado Padoi, that if one had done it but within 30 days, it's a good pinyon. L'chachila, one should wait 30 days, but had it been done on the altar, then that's going to be good as well. The Dibino, Michlal, Dibino Im Pado Eina Padoi. So that implies this is only true by Pidyon Petach Chamor, that you have to wait 30 days, but b'di'evad li'alter, it works. But does that imply, by a pidyon haben, though, by a human, by a son, that if one were to do a pidyon haben less than 30 days, it wouldn't work b'di'evad? So that goes against the following statement, v'hoi itmar hapodes b'no b'soch shloshim yom, rav amar b'no padoi. That it does work b'di'evad. Right, our braisa above said there's a difference. Pidyon haben is 30 days, and petach hamor is le'alter. And we said that's only a din of b'di'evad. B'di'evad, petach hamor is le'alter, and that also would imply b'di'evad, pidyon haben doesn't work le'alter. But this statement clearly says if one had accidentally done within 30 days a pidyon haben, it would work. So Gemara says no. Even by pidyon haben, it wouldn't work either. Lav itmar la amarava dechuyama mi'achshav ein b'no padoi. Everybody agrees it doesn't work. What does that mean? Look at Rashi to explain the last two lines here. Rashi says, "Dechuli alma mi'achshav." Heichad amar le mi'achshav yachal pidyon ze ein apader. Everybody agrees if the if the father says that he wants to redeem his son less than 30 days, mi'achshav. Right now, he wants to be chal on day 15. Everybody agrees it doesn't work. But says Rashi, "Ki pligi when is there machlokes heichad amar." I want to give the money now, but the pidyon lo yachol ad lachar shloshim yom. I want it to take effect after 30 days. There is a machlokas. But everybody agrees, if you want to do it right now, day 15, it doesn't work by pidyon haben, but it does work b'di'evad by petach chamor. So that's what comes out from this conversation. Comes along now Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says, I'll explain to you the steer between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Again, the Mishnah said you have to do it, you could do a pidyon petach chamor le'alter. Braisa says it has to be after 30 days. Rav Sheshes Amar, Lomar, Eino over love. You don't get a violation. What does that mean, says Rashi? Rav Sheshes Amar, Li'olam mitzvah pidyon le'alter. V'hai dikatani ein be'erchen petach chamor pachas mishloshim yom, Eino over love ad shloshim yom, mikan ve'elech over. Rav Sheshes says there's a mitzvah, pidyon petach chamor, immediately, but you have 30 days to do that. Once 30-day passes, you're already in the area of Avarian. We're violating Avera for delaying it too long. It's an Avera. So that's what means 30 days. You don't get an Avera until after 30 days of having not done the pidyon. But the mitzvah is Lialter. That's Rav Sheshit's Shita. It's Lialter. So asks the Gemara, Masav Rami Bar Chama, he asks the following question. He says that Masav Rami Bar Chama mitzvah, so kol shloshim yom, the mitzvah is to do it 30 days. Mikan ve'elach, from this point on, o podeo, o orfo. From that point on, you either could do the pidyon or you could do the arifa of the chamor. So my, what's it talking about? Lav mitzvah lishoso kol shloshim yom. Does this Bryce not mean there's a mitzvah? What do you mean mitzvah so kol shloshim yom? It doesn't mean you could do it all 30 days. The mitzvah so is to wait 30 days to perform the mitzvah, and then you have the option of the mitzvah of pidyon or arifa, which goes against Rav Sheshes, who says you do it lialter. Gemara says no. Lo, mitzvah lifdoso kol shloshim yom. There's a mitzvah to do it within 30 days, evenly alter, which is consistent with the Rav Sheshes. But if that, from that point on, if you haven't done the pidyon, so then you already have the option to do arifa, if you so please. So Gemara says, if that's how the Braisa means that you have the mitzvah to do it all 30 days, and then afterwards, mikan ve'elach, ihachi, mikan ve'elach, it should say, o podeu, o overlov mi baile. It should say, either you get the mitzvah, or you're violating, you're getting an aveira afterwards, because we still learned above, the corner of Sheshes, that there's an Avera for delaying it so long. It shouldn't say you have the option of Arifa. It should say you're violating Avera for delaying the mitzvah pidyon. So the Gemara says, so El Amar Rava, Rava comes along and says, Lo Kasha, there is no contradiction. Ha Rebbe Eliezer, de Makshe, ha Rabbanon, de lo Makshe. The question is whether or not you're learning a Hekesh to Pidyon Bet HaChamor, from Pidyon HaBen. We learned yesterday's daf, there's a machlok, is whether we make a Hekesh of Pidyon Bet HaChamor to a Bechor Adam or not. So if you make the Hekesh to a Bechor Adam, so then the halacha should be the same, that it doesn't work within 30 days, just like a Pidyon HaBen. But if you don't make the Hekesh, so then there's a difference. Meaning even though Pidyon HaBen, you must wait 30 days, by Bet HaChamor, you're already allowed to do it immediately. So that's a very important machlokas here. So how do we paskin? It's very unclear how exactly to paskin here in terms of the Petach HaMor, does it happen immediately or not, but that's a debate in the Rishonim. Now what comes out also interestingly here is whether or not the following situation. There's a case that happens, unfortunately, by a child that's born, a baby, a firstborn baby is born and is not able to have a bris milah. For whatever reason, and now 30 days happens, and it's time for the Pidyon HaBen. So should one do Pidyon HaBen, even though the child does not have a bris milah yet? Or no, you should delay until it has a bris milah. So part of that conversation is a child considered Jewish without having a bris milah? We know a ger isn't considered Jewish without a bris milah. Is the same true of a child born to Jewish parents? And the pashas is we paskin that a child born to Jewish parents is vada Jewish, even though he does not have a bris milah yet. So there's a big discussion based on this sugya here that the Gemara seems to imply that the moment after 30 days has passed, you already start getting a veir for not doing the pidyon. So even though that conversation was regarding the pidyon petach hamor, if you haven't done it after 30 days, you get an aveira. They learn this also applies to pidyon haben. If 30 days have passed and you haven't done pidyon haben, you get an aveira as well. So some therefore say you should not delay the pidyon haben to wait for the bris milah. You should do it immediately. While others say no, you can't do a pidyon haben if the child doesn't have bris milah yet. So this is a back and forth discussion based on the sugya here. We paskin in the end of the day, one would get a pidyon haben even if the child does not yet have a bris milah.
And the question is, if you do pidyon haben, who's mechuyav, the kohen or the father?
Who's mechuyav?
On the bris.
On the bris. Oh, that pashup shabbi, the father. Yeah, we don't really assume. Yeah, no, we go, certainly not, because at the eighth day, the kohen, we don't know what the kohen is. It's
always a father.
Yeah, we never, when it comes to pidyon haben, we don't view it as the kohen really owning it. It's just a dialogue of some sort, but it's not a real serious, like, you want your son back, not want your son back. We don't really take it that seriously.
It's really mamon,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's really just a matnos kahuna. And it relates to the fact that the Bechor used to work as a Kohen in the base of Migdash. Right. That's part of it, but there's no ownership at all to the Kohen. There is a cheskuni, I think, on the Torah, which goes against the Gemara, but he thinks that there's some level of Isser Hana. You can't use the Bechor to do any work like a Kohen. You have to treat him like a Kohen to a certain extent, but we don't assume that way. Okay, so then the Mishnah says, the very last Mishnah of the Perek here in Daf Yud Gimel, Lo Rata Leftos, if the individual refuses to do a pidyon on the Petach HaMor, Orfo, Me'acharav, he should do the arifa on the back of the neck of the chamor and kill it. The kovro, and he buries it. So this is a very interesting din here. Mitzvahs pediyah kodemus lemitzvahs arifa. Now, if you have the option, we certainly encourage one to do the arifa prior to the mitzvah of arifa, as it says in the pasuk, shenemar im lo sifte ve'afto. If you decide not to do the pidyon, so then the next option is a arifa. So the Mishnah here calls it a mitzvahs arifa. How literally do we take it? So the Rambam counts two separate mitzvahs: mitzvahs arifa, mitzvahs pidyon. The rabbi attacks him and says, how could you call arifa a mitzvah? You're being mafsid mamun kohen. You would have otherwise given a seh to a kohen. Instead, you choose not to give him a seh and you break the neck of a chamor and no one gains. Everyone loses. You lose your donkey. He loses a seh. That's a hefsed. That's a nezek. That's not called a mitzvah. Yet the Rambam calls it a mitzvah. So there's different discussions here on what that means. So one understanding is, how much does a kohen have bilus of the petah chamor when it's born? The Ravid understands that the Kohen owns the Petah Chamor, so when you kill the Chamor, you're destroying his property. The Rambam says, no, it's my Chamor. You have no Shaychus to this at all. That's not called a Hefsid, that's not called a Nezek. If I damage a car that you plan to buy, but you haven't yet bought it, that's not damage to you, you don't own it yet. So therefore there's Machlokas, how much a Bailish does the Kohen have on the Petah Chamor prior to anything being given? That's one understanding. The other understanding is, how do we count mitzvahs in general? So the Ravid says, if something's a negative thing, we don't count it as a mitzvah. Destroying something, that's not a mitzvah. A mitzvah is only something that's positive. But the Rambam says, no. The Mari Krukus, there on the side of the page, says that Gittin is a mitzvah. That's not a positive thing. Chalitz is a mitzvah. So the Rambam counts anything that's an action, even though it may not be positive, but still considered a mitzvah, while the Ravid would argue anything that's negative shouldn't be considered a mitzvah. And that's part of a larger discussion of Moni HaMitzvahs.
Back in the neck.
That's the din, based on the arifa, the Gemara learns, based on arifa to egla rufa and stuff like that, the limud. So then the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, mitzvah yida kodemus le mitzvah hapidia. There's a mitzvah of yid. What's yid? If an adon owns an ame ivria, a Jewish midwife, or rather slave, maidservant, so then he's supposed to do yid, he's supposed to marry her. And if he doesn't want to marry her, so then he's allowed to redeem her and she's able to go free. So the mitzvah of yida of yid is prior to the mitzvah, the better option than redeeming her. Shinemar, it says, asher lo yada, if you didn't do yid, vefta, then you should redeem her afterwards. So then the Gemara says, mitzvah ha-yibum kodemus the mitzvah chalitza. The option of yibum chalitza, we certainly encourage yibum on a Torah level. So Gemara says, Barishona, initially, in the earlier years, hashayu miskavnin l'shei mitzvah, where the husband and the sister-in-law, the brother and sister-in-law, had planned to do everything l'shei mitzvah, the proper kavanas, so then we would recommend yibum. Nowadays, the brother-in-law and sister-in-law don't have kavanah l'shem shemayim. They have kavanah of involving some level of arayos. So then we say amru mitzvah chalitza kodemus lemitzvah yibum. We encourage one to do chalitza and not to get involved in mitzvah yibum. And then finally, the Mishnah says a last type of mitzvah like this: mitzvah ha'gu'ula be'adam who kodem l'chol adam. The law is if a person makes a behemoth tamer, Rashi says, he makes his animal, a non-kosher animal, he's makdish it, that the kedusha should be given to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Bedek HaBayis. So the Adon has the first option, he has the first right to redeem it and give the hekdesh money to the Beis HaMikdash. And if he declines, so then you could go to anybody else. Shinemar, it says in the pasuk, Vim lo yigal, if he doesn't do it, then nimchar barakecha, then someone else could pay the outstanding loan to the hekdesh and redeem the behemoth tamer. Hajin alachalokeach ubar chamoro. Okay, second parak now. The Mishnah begins, the new parak begins, halokeach ubar paraso sheovi kochavim. Up until now, we've been discussing petah chamor, a non-kosher animal. The chamor is the only bechor non-kosher animal. Now we're discussing a behemoth tahora, a kosher animal, which the dinner of bechor, which applies to all kosher animals. So you have now a person buys the uber, fetus of a kosher animal, such as a cow, from a goy. We have mochelo, or if the Jew sells off to the Ovikachavim, the cow, Avapish Ein Rasha, even though one's not allowed to sell animals to a goy, like we learned in the first parak, or a Meshatev Lo, or one has a partnership with him, or a Mekabel Mimenu, or some type of deal that he is able to Mekabel the Ubrim, or a Nosin Lo, or he's giving off the Ubrim to the goy, the Kabbalah, all these cases, Patim in Abachora, there's an exemption of paying the Bechor, giving the Bechor Behemoth Tahora to the Kohen. Shinemar, it says in the Pasuk, by Behemoth Tahora, be Yisrael avolo bechem. Only if it's exclusively owned by Yid, but once a goy has some bilus, whether it's the mother, whether it's the child, whether it's some partnership, then there's an exemption of paying the bechor to the Kohen. Then the Mishnah concludes, HaKohanim v'alevim v'achayavim shelo niftu mibichor v'hema Torah ela b'pidon ha-ben u'mipetach hamor. Even a Kohen a Levi, if they have a behema Torah born to their property, a Bechor, they're chayav to give to a Kohen. The only exemption they have is from pidon ha-ben, their pater, and also from petach hamor, their pater from as well, but not from a behema tohora Bechor. So Gemara now says, my iria the tani uber chamora bereshit. How come when they're setting up the mishnayos, the masechta, they place the first parak chamor? You would think they should start off with the behemoth tahora. To start off with the donkey would be a strange way to begin the masechta. How come they start off with the uber chamora bereshit? V'hadar tani uber parasa. Now they're teaching the second parak. If there's a behemoth tahora, this is the halacha. Listen to Bereisha, we should first teach Uber Paraso, the Kedusha Zagof, because the difference is the firstborn animal of a kosher animal is a Kedusha Zagof, it's a carbon. That's a much higher level. The Vehadar listen, then afterwards teach the halachas of Uber Chamaro, which is only at best Kedusha's Domin, where there's only value, the Kedusha Lagabe the value, but not Lagabe the Kedusha Zagof, not intrinsic value, not intrinsic Kedusha. So Gemara says, Amri b'ma'arav in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, they would explain, either because the sugya of Chamor, or Petach Chamor, was something very chaviv to Rabbi Chanina, so he taught it first, what was so chaviv about it, so Rashi references that he was explaining how come Dafka Chamor, no other non-kosher animal, was zocha to have be a pidyon, because they said, Man Nishtanu, Rashi quotes, what was different, the Pite Chamorim that they were chosen, the Pite Susim, the Gemalim, because they, every Jew who left Mitzrayim, were given donkeys to carry loads of gold and silver. So to remember such a Maisa, it was very Chaviv to them, they wanted to place this first in the Masechta. Alternatively, the Gemara suggests, the Baisema, I did the Zuchin Mile, the Behema Temeya, Pasuk Vishadile. This is a very important line for education, for teaching skills, and even memory skills. They first wanted to deal with a very small topic and get rid of it, get it out of the way, as opposed to first dealing with a large topic and exhaust the audience and then have to deal with a small topic at the end. No one's going to pay attention. So first deal with the small masechtas, the small topics, the small prakim, get that out of the way, and then you can engage in the larger topics. This happens to go against the way the masechtas are ordered, organized in order of masechtas. In any Seder, the larger masechta is always first. Shabbos is first. And then Erevin, and then it goes down to the Chagiga. Every masechta. The Babas are first, then Sanhedrin. So in terms of the masechtas, the order is always in terms of largest to smallest, but that goes against this klal here. Whenever people ask me, how should I start learning, want to go through Shas? I never tell them to start with Shabbos or Bab Basa. You always say, start with something small. Try to accomplish a small masechta first. And then once you have that under your belt, you're able to accomplish another one and then build off that. But if you start with Erevin, you start with Bab Basa, you're going to get completely overwhelmed and you're not going to finish the project. Okay. Mar now says, last few narrow lines of Amun Aleph here, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani Amar, Reish Lakish Mishum Rabbi Yoshaya, Yisrael Shenosen Maos L'Ovi Kochavim. If a Jew gives a Goy money, Bibehemto, for his animal, a Jew trying to buy an animal from a Goy, Bidineim, in his halachas of Dinim, we'll see what that means in a second, Afa Pishal Amashach, even though he didn't draw it, even though he didn't do a Mashicha, he just gave the money, Kinyan Kesef, it's a good Kinyan. And chayeves bebechora, and when the Jew buys the animal, he's chayev in bechor if it gives birth to a firstborn. V'ovid kafal chavim, the reverse now. If a goy wants to buy a behema from a Jew, shenasan maos liyisrael, the goy gives maos. These are both cases of kinin kesef beno mashicha. So the goy pays the money bevehemto to buy the animal from the Jew bedineim in their dinim in their halachas. Av pishul amashach, even though there is no mashicha, kana the goy does acquire the animal upatim in a bechora and it's pater. So both these cases, whether the Jew is buying or selling, it's enough to have a maos. You don't need a mashicha at all. So Gemara now wants to understand what does dineim mean. So Gemara is going to spend the rest of the daf trying to figure out this statement here. Amar Mar, Yisrael Shenasan Maos La'Ovri Kochavim. If a Jew pays money to a Goy, Bidineim, in their halachas, in their dinim, Afa Pishal Amashach, even though there is no Mashicha, Kana V'chayeves B'Bechor, it's a good acquisition by the Jew, and it's Chayev in a Bechor. So my Bidineim, what does Bidineim mean? Ineima Bidineim de Gufa, if it means the Dineim, they're the halachas that they paskin like in terms of buying the Gufa, which means Dasi Kavachomer, that if you buy a Goy, the Goy itself, the person, so we know that works. So look how the Kavachomer works. We're learning from that halacha, Diasi B'Kavachomer. Im Gufe Kanile, Yisrael B'Kesef, if a Jew could buy a Goy himself, a person himself, through Kesef, d'chsev l'reshes achuza, that the pasuk's referring to buying an Eved Kenani, connecting it to achuza, connecting it to buying property, hekeshu akasev l'achuza, we're connecting buying an Eved Kenani to an achuza, to karka, ma achuza ben nikne b'kesef b'shav chazaka, so then you could buy property with money, with a document, with a chazaka, af Eved Kenani nikne b'kesef. You could also buy a guy with a kesef, that we know. That's based in the pasuk. So now, if you could buy a guf over kilchavim, a guy himself with money, mamona lo koshgen, certainly you should be able to buy his property, his mamonis, as well, with his behema, with money. So that's how we know that you could buy kesef. Gemara says, if that's really the source, we're learning from buying a person to buying his property, imkein afil b'shar v'chazak anami. You should be able to buy a behemoth from a guy using a shtar or a chazak as well. If the source for using kesef from a buying from a guy is based on a buying in Eved Kenani, you should be able to use a shtar and chazak. That's question one. V'od, furthermore, Yisrael miYisrael yochichu, you could disprove this kalachomer from a Jew buying another Jew. Because the gufe kani lebe kesef, we know you could buy an Eved Ivri. A Jew buying another Jew works with kesef. But mamona, if you want to buy a Jew's property, kesef doesn't work. You have to do meshicha. So we see that there is a disconnect between buying a human versus buying property. So that's not the source how we know that kin and kesef works when buying from a goy. So how do we know that you're allowed to buy from a goy? Kesef works. So Ela Gemara says, Ela Amar Bai Bidineim Shepaskalem Torah. What it says dinay means not a din as in kavachomer, like the word din used means a dinhu, a kavachomer, not a kavachomer. Dina means the halacha that the Torah prescribes how to buy. What does that mean? It says in the pasuk, okana miyana misecha, that when you buy from a yana misecha, when you do a meshicha from a Jew from another Jew. So meshicha works from Jew to Jew. So Gemara says, miyana misecha hu de meshicha hu. Only Meshicha works by Yana Misecha, from Jew to Jew. But we could infer from this, Ha miyad oved kochavim bekesef. But when you're buying from a goy, Meshicha doesn't work. You have to go for the other option, which is Meshicha. So that's how we know, or rather kesef. That's how we know kesef works from buying from a goy. Gemara says,
learn from Avraham Avinu, no?
We're not learning. This is not a clear pasuk, but Avraham Avinu, that's Kol Matan Torah and stuff. So maybe you should say, who do you know? Maybe only you could buy from Yad Misecha, but maybe you could never acquire anything. Maybe Kinyanim don't work from a guy at all. Gemara said, Amri lo saka daitech. No one ever think you can't make acquisitions from a guy. If you could buy an Eved Kenani, you could buy a human, a guy, certainly you could be able to buy his property, so it certainly does work. So Gemara said, fine, I agree a Kinyan works. But the ema miyad over kochavim adi katarti. Maybe you should have to require two things in order to acquire from a goy, both the kesef and meshicha. Lav kavachomer. Is this not also kavachomer? Gufo ba'achas mamona b'shtayim. If you could buy a guf, a human, a goy himself with just one acquisition, you're going to require two kinanim to buy his property. That wouldn't make any sense. So you have to only use one. One is sufficient to buy mamono. So Gemara says, fine, so I agree, a kinyan works by the mamono, and you only need one. But maybe you should learn ema obaha obaha. Maybe you should have the option. When buying from a Jew, you need to do a meshicha. But when buying from a goy, maybe you should have the option of either meshicha or kesef. Who says only kesef works? Gemara says, it has to be dumya damisecha. The pasuk compares it to damisecha, contrasts it to damisecha. Ma misecha b'chada, just like when buying from a Jew, only meshicha works, only one works. So af ovei kochav nami b'chada, when buying from a goy, only one would work. And by the pasuk, it can't be meshicha, that only works by a Jew. Therefore, we learn that kesef works. So this is the makor, that kesef works from buying from a goy.
So you learn it from an Eved Kenani?
No, we learn from the pasuk amisecha.
Right, which is that you're allowed to buy the gufa of the Eved, right?
That just proved to us that only one kinyan works. But which kinyan works? That's learned from the Amisecha. Amisecha, only Meshicha works by Amisecha.
So the Kal v'chomer im gufo kone mamono lo kol sheken, that's not it?
We rejected that. We had two reasons why we rejected that initially, the Gemara said. So we learned from the word miyad Amisecha. That's the source. So then the Gemara says, Amar mar, vovei kochavim shenasan mosli Yisrael. Now the other way, the flip side. A guy is buying from a Yisrael behemto. So the lacha was, if he gives money to the Yisrael to buy the Jew's behema, af bidineim in his dinim, af a pishal amashach, even though no Mashiach was done, kana upatim in the Bechara, the guy acquires it. So my bidinayim, the same question, what does bidinayim mean? Ilayim bidinayim, the guf, if it means a kavel chomer learned from buying a guf, mishim dasa b'kavel chomer, im gufo yisro kani le b'kesef, if a Jew can be acquired by a goy, the Pasuk talks about if a Jew was bought by a guy who was taken captivity, you pay him back, so that's through kesef. So if a Jew can be bought by a guy by kesef, mamon lo kol shekein, so certainly the mamon, the behemah of Yisrael, can be bought with kesef as well. So this is the initial suggestion through a kavah chomer, how a guy could use kesef to buy a property from a Jew. So then the Gemara says, Yisrael, Yisrael, excuse me? Oh, last six lines of the page here. Then the Gemara says, Yisrael mi Yisrael yochichu. We could disprove this kavah chomer from a Jew buying from another Jew. Dugufo kane bekesef, mamono mi vishicha. So a Jew could buy another Jew with kesef. But when it comes to buying him money, property, he has to do mashicha. So we can't make such a kavah chomer of how the guf is acquired to how the mamono is acquired. So what's the source that a goy, rather the Jew, could buy from a goy through kesef? El Amar Abai, Abai says, Bidineya means shepashkalem Torah, the halachas of how the Torah taught us. It says, V'chi simchu mimemcha lamisecha, lamisecha b'mashicha, hala v'kuchavim b'kesef. When it comes to selling to amisecha from Jew to Jew, so there we say, miyad amisecha, that a mashicha works from Jew to Jew. But when selling to, from a goy, the halacha is b'kesef, that kesef is allowed to work. The Gemara says, "Ema lo v'kachavim klal klal lo." Same exact thing we saw above. Maybe it doesn't work with selling from a goy. So Gemara says, "So selling to a goy." Gemara says, "Klal klal lo." Amri lav kavachomer. It's not a kavachomer. Im gufo kana memona lo koshagen. If a goy could buy a Jew himself, so certainly he could be able to buy the property of a Jew. So Ema, maybe we should say lo v'kachavim adi katarti. Maybe the goy should have to do two acquisitions. Lav kavachomer. Is this also not a kavachomer? Gufo be'echad, mamona b'shtayim. If a Jew himself is bought by a goy with one kinyan, certainly the property should not require two. One should be sufficient. And the Gemara says, Ema, obaha, obaha. Maybe the goy should have the option of how to buy. Maybe he should be able to use mashicha or kesef. And the Gemara says, Dumya da misecha, ma misecha bechada, af. So what comes out from all this is that whether buying or whether selling from Jew to non-Jew, regardless of the direction, that only a kesef works. Mashiach works Jew to Jew, kesef works from Jew to non-Jew or non-Jew to Jew. That's what we conclude from this conversation. Fine. So now the Gemara says further, going weiter on this conversation. The Gemara says, Amri ula meimar, according to meimar who holds, up until now, we assumed that only kesef works between goy and Yisrael. But Amemar is of the opinion that no, he thinks a goy, a mashicha works by a goy as well. That he could acquire property through a goy, through mashicha rather. So now, Hanichas, how is he going to understand this whole sugya? So, Isavarlak Rabbi Yochanan, if he holds like Rabbi Yochanan, Amar, Davar Torah, Maos Konos, that really in a derisive level, Davar Torah, Rabbi Yochanan holds Maos Konos. And Mashicha lo ahani, and really Mashicha doesn't work on a deraisa level. So then we say, Hani la misecha, to tell me la misecha v'kesef lo v'kochav v'mashicha. I mean, Rabbi Yochanan has a whole different discussion of how the Gemara works. He thinks really Jew to Jew, it says, kesef really works. So the starting point really here is kesef. So kesef works from Yisrael to Yisrael, so then the inference would be, la misecha kesef works, but to a goy, mashicha works. So this is a complete opposite drush of what we've learned up until now. Ella, isavar lak reish lakish. If a Meimar, who holds Mashicha, works by a goy, if he holds like Reish Lakish, Damar, Mashicha mefurish min haTorah, so then he says that Mashicha really works from a Jew to a Jew, so then the question becomes, if Mashicha works by a Jew, and Mashicha works by a goy as well, so la misecha b'mashicha, lo v'kochavim b'mashicha la misecha lamali. So then what's being learned out from la misecha? It shouldn't say la misecha. If again, Mashicha works, if the Torah is talking about Mashicha, and the Pasuk says, Miyad Amisecha. So what does Miyad mean? So Miyad means Mashicha, it works by a Jew, and it also works by a Goy Mashicha. So what's the word Amisecha coming to exclude a Goy from? He's able to do Mashicha. So that's the question according to a Meimar. Everyone with me on that Cheshbon here? Okay. So I'll say it one more time. So again, he holds that on the Torah level, a Jew could acquire things with Mashiach. That's what it means, Miyad Amisecha. And he also holds, like Reish Lakish, that Mashiach works for a goy. So now they're both equal. So the question becomes, Lamisecha can't be excluding a goy from Mashiach because he holds a goy works for Mashiach. So what's the word Amisecha coming to exclude? Answer the Gemara, Amri Lamisecha, Atamachsir Ona, different topic. Via Tamachsir Ona, Liknani. We know there's a lach of Ona. The person overprices, overcharges, undercharges, there's an Isser of Ona. And you also have to return the Ona. If it's more than a sixth off the price, the value, you have to return the Ona. So the lach is the Ona only must be returned to Amisecha, to a Jew, but one does not have to return Ona to a Kanani. That's what Lamisecha is coming to exclude. But with regards to Kinyanim, there Kinyanim work for Mashiach, just like it works by a Goya and a Jew. They're equally the same. So then the Gemara says, the Kanani, they not returning Ona to a Kanani, that's learned from a different pasuk. It says, Me'al tono ish es achid nafka, only to the achiv, only to your brother, only to a Jew does one need to return Ona, but you don't have to return Ona to a Kanani. So we can't say Amisecha is coming to teach me that same din. Why need two different drashas to teach me the same halacha that you don't return Ona to a goy? So Gemara says, no, chad b'kanani, chad b'hekdesh. No, you don't return Ona to a goy, and you also don't return Ona to Hekdesh. Hekdesh is exempt from having to return the Ona. The person somehow overcharged the Hekdesh, whatever the case might be, one does not need to return the Ona back to Hekdesh. So that's the two different dinim. And the Gemara says, Tzricha, you need to teach me the din of the Ptur Ona, the not returning Ona to Kanani, and also not returning Ona to Hekdesh. You need to teach both of these halachas, but Tzricha. The Kasi Rachman Chad, had he only taught one of them, Habamina Lekanani, Hudain La Ona, only by Kanani, is no requirement to pay Ona, Havel Hektish, which is the base of Migdash, which of course is owned by the Jewish entity, so there you certainly should have to return Ona. Yesh La Ona, Kamash Milan, that no, for whatever reason, Hektish is also exempt from receiving Ona. Fine. So then the Gemara says, Hanich al-man, this all makes sense, Gzela Aser, that normally you can't steal from a goy. So if you can't steal from a goy, so that's why Hainu Itzirich Kra Lemishre Ona. That's why there has to be a special pasuk. Even though you can't steal from a goy, you could overcharge the goy. That's why. But let's say you hold there's a machlokas whether or not you're allowed to steal from a goy or not. We assume you're not allowed to steal. If you assume you can't steal, Eli Sava, rather, we assume you can't. But if you assume you can steal, Eli Sava La Kiman Damar Gzeilo Shekanani Mutter, if you're allowed to steal from a goy, so Nami Bai, do we have to have a special drasha? You also could overcharge him. That's certainly permitted. If stealing is allowed, certainly Ona is allowed. So why do you have to have a special drasha to exclude a goy from Ona? So the Gemara says, you're right. Amri, E Savala Kiman Damar Gzeilo Mutter, Al Karachach Krabi Yochanan Sirle. If you assume that you're allowed to steal from a goy, and you, by definition, you're forced into holding like Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan rather, who was the first opinion who said that that Maos Konas works by a Jew and Mashiach works by a non-Jew. This way, the word Lamisecha tell me that only Kesev works Lamisecha, but it doesn't work, Kesev doesn't work for a Goy, and you don't need to teach me any din of Ona. That's what comes out from all this sugya. A little confusing. Hope it's somewhat clear. It's very important halacha l'maisa, by the way, how we paskin. In the end of the day, how do we paskin? Do we say when it comes to buying from a goy, you need mishicha or do you need kesef? So the big machlokas in the Rishonim, Tosos and Rashi and the Rambam, some say only kesef works, some say only mishicha works, some say both of them work. And it's very important for buying and selling chametz to a goy when it comes to chametz this past week. So therefore, we do all kinyanim possible. We do a mishicha, we give the staros, which represent the chametz, we have a transfer of money, we do every possible kinyan in order to make sure the chametz is sold properly. Just mamish this morning, I had this shaila. A guy just called me, a guy called me and said that someone didn't want to ask me the question, so he's asking for him. That always means he's asking for himself, he just didn't want to admit it. So he said the person bought whiskey before Pesach, but he paid for it, but had in mind that he was selling it, he sold that whiskey, which wasn't yet delivered to his property yet. But he wanted to sell it, so he sold it to the chametz with the rabbi, but it was delivered on Achron Shel Pesach, the land that came to his property on Achron. He was expecting it to come afterwards. He wanted to know whether or not that was a good sale. Did he violate chametz and Pesach? Did he not get enough from the chametz, the whiskey that came? And the answer is, since he paid for it prior to Pesach, so the kinyan kesef works. He owned it. And once he owned it, he had the right to sell it through the rabbi as well. Even though he hasn't yet done a mashicha, he did a kesef. Kesef is sufficient, according to the many Rishonim. And even though it came to his property on Pesach, he clearly wasn't interested in acquiring. You can't force a guy to acquire it. Let's say a guy drops off bread on my property. I didn't ask for it. I don't violate an Isser Chametz. I don't want it. So by him selling the Chametz clearly indicated that he wasn't interested in it. On top of that, we also paskin that Chametz Shavar Lava Pesach is only an Isser Midirbanim. And whenever it comes to the Suffolk of Chametz Shavar Lava Pesach, we're always Makel. So since we're not sure whether the Kesef works, whether the Mashiach works, whether both work, so we assume since it's a Suffolk on a Chametz Shavar Lava Pesach, which only Midirbanim, he's allowed to hold on to the Chametz. But I think you don't even need to get to that point. I think it was a clear good sale on his part, and he didn't own it at all until after Pesach came. Okay. Says the Gemara now halfway down the Amud here, Yud Gimel Amud Beis Meisive. Halokeach Gutros Min Ovei Kocham. A person buys some chips of silver from a guy, and amongst them, Mataba Avodas Kocham. He found some idol worships, whatever things of Avodas are amongst the silver. Im Achelon Nasan Maos, if before he gave the money he did a Mashicha only, he didn't give a Kesef, only Mashicha, Yachshe, he's allowed to return it. Mashicha is meaningless, you need a Kesef. Im Mishinasan Maos, Mashach, if after giving the Kesef he had done a Mashicha as well, he did both them, so now he owns the Kesef, including the Avodah Zarah that's there, Yolech Hanol Yam HaMelech, he has to now throw everything into the sea, you can't sell it, you can't make any profit of it, you have to remove the Isra Na. Now, Iyam, if you say Maos Konos, Mashicha Lamli, if you paskin that Maos really works, that Kesef works, what's the need for an additional Mashicha as well? So Gemara says, Hacha v'may askin, what's the case here? Shekibo lav ledun b'dine Yisrael. So if you assume the lach is, you're right, Einechanami Maos Konos, it does work by a goy. But this is a case where the goy wanted to follow the halacha as the legal system of the Jews, which means he wanted to use a Mashicha. Again, depends how you paskin. It's very confusing. Reish Lakish of Yochanan. But the Gemara, this Gemara says he wanted to do Mashicha like Dina Yisrael.
But both Reish Lakish and Yochanan agree that Maos derives Kona. So the question is if you need Mashicha or not.
No. Reish Lakish doesn't think Maos derives Kona. Only Mashicha works.
And, he doesn't think that both are Midrash or no?
No. It's one or the other. Yeah, it's mutually exclusive. So then he says, this case, again, a situation, we want to be mekabel himself how to acquire things on the Dina Yisrael. So then the Gemara says, Ihachi, that's the case, Maos Lamali. If he wanted to follow Dina Yisrael, which is simply Mashicha alone, so then why do you have to pay any money at all? Just remove the Maos from the calculation and just say whether there's a Mashicha or no Mashicha. This is what the Bryce is telling us. The Alpha Pisha Nasa Mos, even though he may have given money, we don't care. It's all dependent on I Mashach Ilo, in Vilo Mashach Lo. That's the point. We're trying to say, even with Mos, we completely ignore the Mos. It's all dependent on Mashicha. Ihachi Kashi Resha, if it's all dependent on Mashicha, so then the first half, the Resha said, I Mashach, if he didn't give money, and he did Mashicha, he could return it back. But if we're saying Mashicha is a full Kinyan, he shouldn't be able to return it back. So Gemara says, Amar Abai, Reisha Mishumdika Mekach Tos. No, the Reisha is a case where there's a Mekach Tos involved. There was a mistake that was involved, and that's why it wasn't a good acquisition. Gemara says, Amar Le Rava, Reisha Mishumdika Mekach Tos, Sefer Lekha Mekach Tos. You're saying the Reisha is Mekach Tos, the Sefer isn't Mekach Tos. There should be some level of consistency here in the Brisa. Unclear, hard to say half of the Brisa is a Mekach Tos, the other half isn't. El Amar Rava Reish v'Seifa Mekachtos. Both cases are Mekachtos.
So, if it's Mekachtos, what's importance if he was Mashach or not? It's irrelevant, no?
Right. So they were saying right now the Reisha was Mekachtos.
Yeah,
so even though he didn't,
but it still says in Im Ad Shelo Natan Maos Mashach.
Right. So the point is that if he did a Mashicha in the Reisha, he could be Yachzir. He could return it even though there's Mashicha. Since it was a Mekachtos, the acquisition doesn't take effect. That's why the Reisha says Yachzir. The Seifa, according to the first suggestion, was it wasn't Mekach Taos, and therefore, since everything was fair, so it did a Mashicha, and he does acquire it, and he has to throw it into the Yam HaMelech. But Gemara says it's very hard to say that the Reisha is a Mekach Taos, and the Seifa is not a Mekach Taos. So the Gemara says, no, both cases are Mekach Taos. Ela Amarava, Reisha v'Seifa Mekach Taos. So it's both a Mekach Taos, and there's a Mashicha in both Reisha and Seifa, so then he should have to throw both cases in the Yam HaMelech. So Gemara says, Reisha is delo yav zuzei. So in the Reisha, he didn't pay money for it yet. Delo mechse kavodos kochavim b'yad Yisrael. Because what happened was, he did a Mashicha, but he didn't pay for it yet. So since he didn't pay for it, it doesn't appear.
People don't see
exactly. So Mekach Talos, you could put back.
Right.
The question is, are we going to make a concern of others watching? So certainly Mekach Talit Mekach Din, he could return both cases. But since he didn't give money, everyone thinks, oh, he just he looked at it and gave it back. There wasn't a sale, so he could return everything. But the safe where we paid money for it, even though it's a Mekach Talit, and really the whole sale should be undone, people watching are saying, wait a second, the guy paid for it. The guy did a Mashicha, and now he's now it looks like he's buying and selling back the Avodah Zarah to the Goy. Something looks strange here. We say, therefore, you can't undo the sale since the money was transferred. Even though Allah midrash it doesn't work, there's no sales of Mekach Talit because of the impression of others. So that's what the Gemara says here. Again, Reisha, the Loyav, he didn't pay money for this, he just looked at the items. Lo Mechzik Avodah Chacham doesn't appear like Avodah Chacham. He could just return back the silver and sale never happened. Mekach Talit. Beyad Yisrael. But Seifa, the Yov Zuzi, where he actually paid money for it, even though it was now undone because of Mekach Talit, since it's Mechse Kavodah Shechavim Beyad Yisrael, it looks like there was a Avodah Zarah in the Jewish hands, he has to now take the Avodah Zarah and throw it into the Yam HaMelech. Abai Amar Lecha, Abai says, Reisha Mekach Talit, the Reisha Mekach Talit, the Lo Yada, the Lo Yada. He didn't know what was in there. He didn't know there was a Avodah Zarah. When you buy a whole, I don't know, a bag of silver, you're not really sure what's in the bag of silver. The Lo Yav Le Zuzah, he didn't pay for it. Rashi explains that the way it worked is the people don't look into the bags until you to pay for it. They're not going to let you scrummage around the bags until you pay the money for it. So you buy the bag, and then you pay for it, and then you start looking around. So since the Reisha, he didn't pay the money for it yet, he wasn't allowed to look into it yet, it was a Mekach Talit, he's able to return it. But the second case of Seifa is La Mekach Talit, it's not Mekach Talit. The Chavin de Yahiv Le Zuze, once he paid money for it, Kika Mashich Ibai Liyinuye V'Hadar Mamshich, he should now, once he paid for it, he has a right to look around, see what's in there, and then he should have looked into it, and then had done the Mashicha. But since he didn't look into it, he didn't investigate what was in it, he did a Mashicha anyways after paying the money, therefore he acquired it, and that's why he has to go ahead and throw it into the Yam HaMelech. Rav Ashi Amar, Rashi says no. Midereisha Mishicha Einokona Seifanami Mishicha Einokona. Really, Rav Ashi says just like the first half where it says if he pulled the Mishicha, he has to yachzer everything. The Sefer is also a situation where he did a Mishicha, doesn't work. V'aydi the Tani Reisha Mashach Tana Seifanami Mashach. Meaning, Rav Ashi really assumes that the case is the Goy didn't take upon himself Dina Yisrael. He's working within the lachas of a Goy, which means that you need Maos Konos. Maos are required. So Mashiach doesn't work. But just like the Reisha Mashiach doesn't work, the Seifa Mashiach doesn't work either. The only reason why the Seifa does work is because he paid Kesef. And we say Maos Konos by a Goy, that's why he has to throw everything in the Yam HaMelech. So that's Rav Ashi saying Mashiach doesn't work. Ravina says the opposite. Ravina Amar, Mid Seifa Mashiach Kona, Reishanami Mashiach Kona. Really, he holds that the Goy did take upon himself to father lachas of Din Yisrael, which means that Mashicha is the kinnin of Yisrael. So here, the Reisha, the kinnin works, and the Seifa, the kinnin works. So if the kinnin works Mashicha, we understand the Seifa. When he did the Mashicha, he has to throw into the Yam HaMelech. But how come the Reisha? If the Reisha is a case of Mashicha, and Mashicha works, so how come he's able to return it if he did a Mashicha? So he explains, Reisha Hachikamar. Im lo nasim v'lo mashach yachzir. If he didn't pay money and he didn't do Mashicha, then he's able to return everything back. But doesn't the Bryce Reisha really say it was a Mashicha? What does it mean, my Yachzir? Yachzir Bidvarim. He could return Bidvarim, he could retract on his words. That's how we read the Bryce. If there is no Nesinus Maos, there is no Mashicha, he could be Yachzir on the Maos, because there is no. Doesn't Yachzir imply that there was a Mashicha? He was Yachzir, the item. Where I said, no, he wasn't machzir the item. He never did mashicha on the item. He's yachzir b'dvarim. He's going back on his word. That's what's taking place here.
So the Reisha, he does mashicha and he's kohen.
No, Reisha's not. Reisha, initially we thought yes. Now he's saying there was no mashicha. Ravina says mashicha.
Ravina holds on mashicha is
kohen. Mashicha works.
Right.
But the Reisha is a case where no mashicha was done. That's why he's able to return it. Where I said, what do you mean? Doesn't return mean you're returning the item? If you're returning the item, doesn't that imply there was Mashicha? I said, no, there's no Mashicha at all. There's no Chazaras, there's no returning the item. What Chazar in the Reisha means is he's a Chazar on his Devarim, he's retracting on his word. He said, you have my word, I'll buy it from you. They said, you know what? I mean, Chazar my Devarim.
But
he didn't pay money and didn't do Mashicha.
Right.
So that's what the Gemara says, because Kasava Ravina holds Dvar Mieshba Mishim Mechusa Amana. When a person goes back on his word, you're not allowed to retract in your words. It's us to do that. You have to keep your word. But that's only true. Hani Mile Yisal Miyisal Dekayim B'Diburayu. It's only true when Jews speak to each other, where they trust each other. Where my word means my word, and your word means your word. Aval Yisal Mevi Kochavim Inu Lo Kaimi B'Diburayu Lo. But us and the Goyim, since the Goyim don't keep the word, we don't have to keep our word either. Therefore, you're able to retract. So what the Reisha means is, you're Yachser, not the item, because no Mashiach was done on the item, you're Yachser B'Dvar.
So, I mean, answer me, it says, in Achir, not in Maos, Masha, Yach.